Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ at Faith Community Bible Church, and those listening who may not meet with us at the church via sermon audio or the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse broadcast. This is Pastor Tom speaking. I wish I could see your face as I normally do on Sunday morning, but that time will come again. On Tuesday, March 10th, I went away for 1 week and returned on Monday the 16th. As you know, we did not have any church service here at this building on the 15th. That was my first time in 31 years at the church that we have canceled our Sunday morning time of worship at the church. We did so as a precautionary measure, and now it is mandatory that groups of 10 people cannot meet due to the coronavirus. This past Wednesday, the 18th, the leadership of the church discussed our plans going forward. On Thursday, California Governor Gavin Newsom issued a stay-at-home order for all of California. We must abide by that regulation, so that means that we will not be having any church services here at this facility until we are told that we are able to do so. Since the church is composed of every born-again believer, baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit, nobody can cancel church. We have canceled our public services at the building we meet in, which is the local expression of the body of Christ that we call the local church. I don't mean to get too theologically precise here. I simply mean to convey to you that we will still provide a Sunday message from God's word for you to listen to. We will still participate in prayer and fellowship, but it will be different until our public services resume. On the church webpage, faithsd.org, you will find a message from the leadership of Faith Community Bible Church to keep you informed of what we are doing as a church to minister to you. That is not a coronavirus update. We have pasted some links for you to access that information if you so desire. If you do not receive the weekly prayer list, make sure that you sign up for it. You will also find a scaled-down version of our Sunday bulletin on the church webpage under Resources. And in addition to that, you can access Pastor Tom's blog under Quick Links. I plan on posting some short messages there as a means of encouragement. If you attend Faith Community Bible Church and have any personal needs that we could assist with, please call the church office and leave a message. You may also call me or one of the other elders or deacons. For your information, the message that you are listening to now was recorded on Saturday afternoon. I want to encourage all of you to continue to listen to the Sunday sermons, either alone if that's the case, or with your family. I would also encourage you to use the bulletin online to read the scriptures. Make it a family reading. You can select your own hymns and songs to sing, and then have a short time of prayer. I would also ask you to record your thoughts in a journal to share with us when we get together again. We would also appreciate your continued financial support of our ministry with your regular giving. You can mail your offering to the church address, 2375 Center Place, El Cajon, California 92020. And now to the message. Let me begin, though, with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time, however different it is, that your word never changes, that it is fitting for every person in every situation, every day of their life, until the end of their life. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to make that word come alive to us, and to help us apply it. I pray now for your people everywhere, that, Lord, they would draw comfort from the Spirit of God during this unusual time, and that they will take comfort from the word that the Spirit of God has inspired. I do pray, Lord, for our country and for the people, Lord, beyond our nation who are suffering from this pandemic, this virus, Lord. I pray for the leadership of those nations as well as our president, that they may, Lord, exercise wisdom and that the people will cooperate with their recommendations so that this can end more quickly. Bless our hearts, I pray now, by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin by saying that this is a very different message for me to preach. I have preached to small groups, but never to just one person who is recording this, and that would be Josh, our worship leader. Usually I stand behind the pulpit, but now I'm sitting down at a table with my sermon notes and my Bible. Things have changed for sure. But we should always expect that things will change. James 4:13-15 reminds us, "Go to now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what will be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Think on that thought for a moment. If God wills, we shall do this or that. That is a very profound thought that often gets lost in the midst of our daily activities and even our prayers. The title of this message is Three Responses to the Coronavirus. This will be part one. I could have just as easily called it Three Responses to an Unexpected Time of Trial. And maybe that would have been better because I think we've all had enough of hearing the word corona or COVID-19, which sounds like the title of a James Bond spy movie. Although there are rumors circulating about this pandemic, a lot of misinformation and media overhype, we have been asked to do our part to stop the spread of this infection. Whether or not we agree with all of the decisions that our government leaders are making, I do believe that they are acting in the best interest of all Americans, and the scripture reminds us to obey and to pray for them. In the words of Paul in Romans 13:1, he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or appointed of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance or the command of God." Our civil authorities always stand in need of our prayers. Lately on our weekly prayer list, I have listed 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, which says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then it goes on to say, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that they may lead," or that we may lead, "a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." The three responses to the current health trial and its economic and social impact that I wish to address are, first, folly or foolishness, secondly, fear, and then lastly, faith, which is the proper response of the Christian who believes in the providence of God working in all things collectively for their good, as we know from Romans 8:28. I won't cover all of the responses in this sermon. I'll begin first with folly. That is a foolish man's response, and there is no need to spend much time on it. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about foolish behavior. It distinguishes between different types of fools. But one thing we all know from experience is that the foolish man doesn't take advice. He seems to think he knows better, if he thinks at all. He does not demonstrate wisdom, which is how to live life skillfully. In other words, the foolish man makes bad spiritual, moral, and practical decisions. I want you to consider the clear admonition found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, and I will quote it from three translations. First, from the King James, "A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The NIV says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." And the ESV says, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." The response of folly or foolishness is evident in the gatherings of young people on the beaches in Florida who went down there for spring break. They feel invincible, but are insensitive to the needs of people who are more vulnerable. They care only about themselves. And now we learn that the coronavirus doesn't care if you are young and healthy. I have read numerous reports lately citing data that show young people can get and are getting severely ill from this virus. Another response of folly is by Christians who seem to have a poorly informed understanding of what faith is. I would like to call it pseudo-spiritual bravado. It's the attitude that says, "We will trust in the Lord and keep doing what we have always done, like having church services and fellowship, because the Lord will protect us." I quote from a news article that you may have read this past week as an example. This is from Newsweek on 3/18/20. And the title was, "Pastor Holds Service with Over 1,000 Parishioners in Defiance of the Large Gathering Ban." And it reads as follows. "A Louisiana pastor is reportedly ignoring public health warnings intended to prevent the spread of COVID-19 by continuing to hold packed church services for over 1,000 people. Reverend Tony Spell held a crowded service Tuesday night at his Life Tabernacle Church in East Baton Rouge, according to WAFB. Although Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards has banned gatherings of more than 50 people, and President Donald Trump recently suggested groups of no more than 10 people meet. Spell believes there is no risk to his congregation because he says the virus is politically motivated and it's not a real concern. He said the virus is politically motivated and we hold our religious rights dear to us, and we're going to assemble no matter what someone says. He said, "I had 1,170 people in church last Sunday. We have 27 buses on Sundays picking up people in a 5-parish area." And he also suggested that his congregants were not at risk from COVID-19 because the church is a hospital where anointed handkerchiefs have the ability to heal people of multiple diseases. I quote, he said, "Our church is a hospital where the sick can come and get healing." He said that during church services, cancers are healed. People are healed of HIV. And he says, "We believe that tonight we're also going to pass out anointed handkerchiefs to people who may have a fear, who may have a sickness. And we believe that those anointed handkerchiefs go out and healing virtue will come to them as well." I have to wonder that maybe next week he'll start selling those anointed handkerchiefs on the internet. And if you look at their webpage, it can discern it easily that they're part of what is known as the New Apostolic Reformation, which is not apostolic, it's not new, and it's not a reformation. Like Spell, another pastor of a Baptist church in Raleigh, North Carolina, is reported, and I emphasize that, you take reports with a grain of salt because of the media bias, but is reported to have met with the church's safety committee and deacons on Tuesday to seek God's will for the church during this time. And he cited the scriptures in Hebrews 10:24 and verse 25, and I know you're familiar with them. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And that was interpreted as evidence of God's will to keep the church open. We must obey God rather than men, is the thinking. If the story was reported accurately, and I don't know that, I wonder if he would cite the same verse if the church was in the direct path of a Category 5 hurricane. It's not spiritual, friends, to ignore the risk to other people by meeting on Sunday in your church building. It's selfish. The passages I read from 2 Timothy 1 through 3 earlier depict God's will for us as believers. It says, obey them that have the rule or authority over us. And that is so long as they are not commanding us to deny our faith or silence our testimony of Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 22, verse 3, that I mentioned earlier, says this once again, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. They may pay the price personally, but unfortunately others pay the price as well for their foolishness. And I just want to say to you that I'm very thankful for the men at this church that have the interests of others at heart. We are going to meet again in due time, and that will be a time of feasting and rejoicing when we do. I told the leaders and the deacons that we will slay the fatted calf. We will do what Nehemiah told the people to do when the wall was finished. He said, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. And I want to tell you that I very much look forward to our next corporate worship service and the time afterwards. In the meantime, we can rest assured that God is doing something good for us in this time of absence from one another. We are learning to slow down and to strengthen our family bonds. We are learning to wash our hands better, to look out for one another. We are learning to do without sports. We are catching up on our reading and our Bible studies. And I think that we are all learning to appreciate the things that we have taken for granted, like church as usual on Sunday and Wednesday. And the old saying is very, very true. You don't know what you have until you no longer have it. As your pastor, I frequently said that I want Faith Community Bible Church to be a safe place for you and your family. And that applies both spiritually and physically. And we will continue to prioritize those concerns. So I say to you, keep yourselves as safe as you can. Keep your family safe. And support those on the front line of this battle, particularly the healthcare workers. Besides prayer, the best way you can do that is by following the recommendations and orders that we have been given. This is not a religious rights issue. It's a common sense issue. We want to be vigilant, but not fearful, which is the second response of people during this trial. Fear. And when I say fear, I'm not talking about the fear of God, which is reverential fear that pays homage to God for his great glory and power. Psalm 115:11 reads, you that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. That is reverential fear. Nor am I talking about the fear of God's righteous judgment. As it says in Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And indeed it is. In Revelation 6:15 through 17, we have the picture of the fear of God's judgment during the time of tribulation, which will come upon the whole earth in the future. And thankfully, the church will not be present during that time. God has promised to keep the church, that is all born-again believers, out of that time of great trial, which will last 7 years. But verse 15 in Revelation 6 says this, and we'll read all the way through verse 17. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who will be able to stand? Jesus referred to that time in Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. He said, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, that is the mass of people, the nations roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That describes the fear that will accompany the worldwide judgment of God in the end times. And I want to say to you that no presidential task force or any other actions that men take will be able to stop that judgment. No one will be able to stand. One thing I pray, and I pray sincerely, that will come out of this national time of trial is that life won't return to normal. Not so far as America's sinning ways go. What we need more than a vaccine for the coronavirus is national repentance. Like when Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, beginning with their king. That would be our president. We need a spiritual vaccine to stop the plague of moral wickedness in this nation. Nineveh was a very wicked city. But consider what happened. You could read it in Jonah chapter 3. In the first verse, it says, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Notice their response. The response of their intellect. They believed God. And they proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? That means forestall the judgment and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And in the 10th verse there of Jonah chapter 3, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Judgment was not carried out by the mercy of God in response to the preaching of Jonah. The reverential fear of God and the fear of God's judgment, friends, are healthy fears, which are missing in all the news that I hear about this COVID-19. It was good for President Trump to declare a National Day of Prayer last week. But in reality, that is nothing more than a false spiritual placebo without what John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit that demonstrates repentance. This, I believe, is America's greatest need. This is your greatest need. If you do not know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this is the need of every Christian who has turned away from God and perhaps is walking in disobedience. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 38 and following. He said, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. I mean, they wanted proof. They wanted proof that Jesus was who he said he was and his words were true. But he answered and he sent it to them that an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there will be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the prophecy of his resurrection. And then Jesus said in verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, the generation who saw Jesus and saw his miracles and heard him speak, and they will condemn it. The scripture says, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The Ninevites repented of their sin. From the king on down, it began with him. They cast themselves upon the mercy of God to spare their city, but they also showed the fruits of repentance. They believed God. They fasted from food and water. They put on sackcloth and ashes, which were symbolic of great grief and humility. And they cried mightily unto God. And the Bible says they turned from their evil ways and the violence that their hands were doing. I believe the first step of repentance for America to take. And I wasn't planning on preaching on this. In fact, I just added it into my message today. The first step of repentance that I believe America should take would be for our nation to turn away from the violent murdering of the most vulnerable of our people, the unborn. Shut down all abortion clinics permanently. End the national holocaust of abortion. Do you know that every day Americans hear the number of people who have died from the coronavirus? We get daily reports, press briefings from the CDC. And as of Friday evening, that was last night, the count was at 201 deaths, according to the CDC, and we know that there will be more. Every single death is one too many. I'm not minimizing those deaths, but let's put it in perspective. The same Center for Disease Control reported that in 2018, 862,000 320 legally induced abortions were reported to the CDC from 48 reporting areas. 862,320 precious, innocent lives lost. And we want God to bless and spare the United States of America. Although we pray for his mercy, we do not deserve the mercy of God. No nation on this earth deserves God's mercy. We need to be fervent in prayer for a genuine spiritual revival to sweep across our land. And that would be the best thing to come out of this coronavirus pandemic. The prophet Isaiah, writing to the disobedient nation of Israel, long ago said in Isaiah 30:15, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved." That's repentance and trust. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But then he adds these words, "But you were unwilling." Thus far, America is unwilling to repent. Every single Democratic candidate for the president, now down to one, Joe Biden, supports a woman's right to her own body at the expense of a child's right to life. That is far more than a high crime and misdemeanor. It is a willful act of murder. And how many people are talking about it? How many of our politicians are talking about it? Although God never entered into a covenant with America like he did with Israel, we are no less culpable for the shedding of innocent blood. That was one of the sins of the great city of Nineveh. From 1973, when Roe versus Wade was enacted, until 2018, 61.8 million lives have been taken. That's 1,700 per day, 71 per hour. That's one abortion every 1 minute and 19 seconds. I believe that it really is time for all Christians to speak up when they have an opportunity and call this nation back to repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, I'll talk about the matter of unhealthy or destructive fear which grips so many people. It's been good to speak to you once again. I really do thank you for your prayers and support. Keep pressing on. Send us a comment on the church webpage where it says, "Contact us." God bless you all. Until we meet again, let me pray. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to speak to your people. Thank you that although we have done it in a different fashion and we're not meeting together, that your word is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, may the intents of our heart always be to please you. May the intents of our heart always be to think of others before we think of ourselves. May the intents of our heart always be to follow Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. Lord, we thank you that he did come to serve and to give his life as a ransom for our sins. I pray that during this time when so much attention is focused on this virus and its fallout, that people will consider their ways, that there truly will be a spiritual revival to come out of this, that we'll see a mighty moving of the Spirit of God, and Lord, we'll see an end to the evils of our day. We know it will never end completely, but God, I pray the tide will turn, and I pray, Father, that many of our political leaders at the federal level and at the state level and everywhere else, Lord, will realize that this pandemic could never be compared to the judgment that will come upon this world one day. You are a merciful God. You tell us that you are patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray that many will. And let us give you the praise and the honor and the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.